Living with a secret can eat you from the inside out, for sure. And my next guest knows all about it. Aoife Commons is a nurse from Galway who lived with a secret for a couple of years. But now she is out, she is talking about it, and her story is really, it's really important. So let's meet her. Aoife is with us live from our Galway studio. Aoife, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Thanks for asking. Aoife, how long have you been living with HIV?
I celebrated my 3-year HIV-iversary 2 weeks ago. So 3 years.
3 years. Wow. Yeah. And can you just explain, how is your day-to-day life? Is it different to the way it was pre-diagnosis?
Not at all. I take one tablet at nighttime before I go to bed and that's it.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And we're talking about, you lived with this as a secret for quite some time. How long did you live with HIV before telling friends and family, and why didn't you tell them?
So I told a few people initially when I got diagnosed. I think some close friends that I was in Australia with, but maybe only 3 or 4 people knew. And then I got home from Australia last February in 22, and I was like, oh, I'll tell my mom and dad soon. And then I just kept putting it off. I guess I was scared. So my mum ended up finding my meds last summer. So she, obviously then I told my mum and dad then. But yeah, it just took me a long time to get comfortable telling people. And then when I decided to do the podcast with the Positive podcast with Robbie and Veda, that's when I started telling my siblings and a few of the close friends. But most people found out when I released the podcast. So I think it was a big shock for everyone.
Do you find there's still a stigma attached to HIV?
Hugely, yeah. It's really bad.
I can imagine after meeting Robbie, because he's been on the show a few times now, that he would inspire you to talk about it, because he's one of those people, isn't he?
Definitely.
As we know, he's living with HIV a long time now, and his partner, he has a partner, and he's a very normal life, and he's very open and honest. And a lot of people just seem to be quite uneducated about HIV.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you know, when I got diagnosed, I knew a little bit, of course, because, you know, being a nurse, and the guy I'd been with at the time was diagnosed just before me. So I knew from him, but it definitely, a lot of people just don't understand how difficult it is to transmit. You know, people think, oh, if I kiss this person or share a cup or a glass, well, you know, what could I get it from them? But it's so difficult to transmit. And now I'm on my medicine now, so I can't transmit it at all. Like, once people are undetectable and taking their tablets, they're untransmissible. So I can have unprotected sex with partners. You know, I can have kids and I'm not a risk to them. I can't give it to anyone. But the education's not there. Like, we're not learning this in schools. We're not learning it in college. It's just very much, when I was, you know, sex ed in school, it was all like, don't get pregnant. You know, there was not that much education about STIs. And they're on the rise in Ireland. So I think it's an important topic that needs to start being discussed. But
can you explain how it happened for you? Because you were very careful. You were with your partner in Australia. You know, you were tested before, but there was a window, wasn't there? Him.
Yeah, so I had been tested right before I started seeing my partner. Around the time I started seeing him, I got tested because my ex had told me that he had kind of messed around. I think he was just doing it to hurt me, because I came back, like, everything came back negative. But when I went in to get tested, they said, oh, when was the last time you slept with your ex? And I said, it's been about 2 months. And they said, okay, great, because your HIV test will come back, you know, there won't be any false negatives. And I said, what do you mean? And they would go, oh, well, you know, 6 to 8 week window period after HIV, you can test negative. And I said, I never knew that no one had ever told me this. And a lot of people don't know that. So that was a big thing for me. So I got tested, I was clear. And my partner had been tested maybe 2 months before I met him, and he hadn't been with anyone yet. So we were like, oh, we're both, you know, in the clear. So we stopped using condoms. And the same day that we had unprotected sex, we gave blood. And he gets a call from the blood bank 4 days later, and he was positive. So it was a huge shock, because we thought, you know, we'd done everything right. And he still ended up, you know, I still ended up getting HIV. So, yeah, it was unfortunate.
Did it take you a while to come to terms with your diagnosis? I mean, what was it like getting that news, first of all? And you compare it to how you're feeling about it now? I mean, you're more educated now, and you know it's not that scary of a thing anymore. But, you know, in comparison to when you were told, can you describe that to me?
So when he texted me, so he got a phone call from the blood bank on the Monday, and he said, oh my God, I've been called in. Like, I think, you know, what could they be calling me in for? It must be HIV. So obviously I texted my best friend and I was like, oh my God, what, you know, is this, what if it's HIV? And even though I was well educated, it was still the scariest thing to hear. Sure. And she was like, don't worry, like sending me all these links and telling me you can still have kids and you can still get tattoos and you can still, you know, just trying to cheer me up. But obviously initially it was very, very scary. And then I went on this thing called post-exposure prophylaxis because we had had unprotected sex twice in the 4 days. So they were like, the PEP might work from the second time you had unprotected sex because it only works within 72 hours of a window period as well. So they tried me on the PEP and they actually thought it worked. I tested negative 6 weeks later. So they were like, oh, you know, you didn't catch it from him, you're negative. So there was this huge relief and this celebration. Oh, I didn't get it. And then 2 weeks later, I was in hospital feeling really unwell, very sick. And the doctors thought I had cancer. And they kept thinking that I had a malignancy in my spine because I was having really bad back pain and all my blood tests were off. So that when I got the diagnosis, when they came in, they were like, you don't have cancer, but it is HIV. I was actually relieved because I was so scared that I was going to have to go through chemo and radiotherapy and my family wouldn't be able to come over to Australia because it was during COVID and the borders were closed. So I remember being so scared and then having this huge relief that it wasn't cancer.
Yeah.
So afterwards, then you get that kind of, you know, I had a few weeks where I had to come to terms with it. But I guess, you know, my partner had been diagnosed at the same time. So we kind of had each other. It wasn't until we broke up and then I was, this is something I want to talk about, but I wasn't ready. I was scared. That was the hardest, the loneliest part, was trying to figure out, you know, how to open up about it and when to open up and who to talk to. And once I've opened up, like now I'm so much happier. I'm free. I just feel like myself. So, you know, coming out and talking about it has been the best thing I've ever done.
And when you go, let's say on a date or whatever, when do you bring it up?
I haven't really been dating that much. I'm not having the best look with dating, so I've kind of been avoiding it.
Like everybody else out there, yeah, okay. But when do you think is an appropriate time just for people out there? Because, or any STI, I mean, it's one of those things that we just don't talk about. I mean, is there an appropriate time to talk about this kind of stuff?
Well, I suppose because it's all over my socials, my Instagram and Facebook and things, usually when, if I'm, you know, using a dating app, they'll follow me on the apps before we meet for a date. So they kind of already know. I try to tell people before I meet them, if you meet someone authentically on a night out, which doesn't really happen that much anymore.
Is that true?
And then, I don't know, actually, maybe I would tell them.
You need to come. Yeah, well, you need to come. Yeah. When it happens and you figure that out, you need to come back and tell us, because as we know, STIs are on the rise in Ireland, especially in young people. And the most important thing is that we do communicate. We do talk about it. But I suppose, when do we do that with someone who we're about to sleep with? Tell me about this magic pill. Okay, so you're in hospital. You get the diagnosis for HIV. You're relieved because you don't have to go through chemo. And this is a very treatable illness. And you can have a long and happy life and a very normal life. Tell me about this magic pill. So is it one a day?
Yeah, so the doctors were like, oh, it's going to take a few weeks to process. You know, you have to get like bloods to check if what like tablets you're resistant to. So you had to do like a full panel of bloods and it took maybe 2 weeks. And then they brought me back and they said, OK, this is the tablets we're going to start you on. So, yeah, you just take your tablets, you know, any time of day. So I always take mine at nighttime before I go to bed. But you can take just them in the morning, the afternoon, whatever you want. Just one tablet. Mm-hmm. I go off to sleep. And then every 6 months, I just get a blood test to make sure that the meds are still working and that I'm still undetectable. And that, you know, my kidneys are okay, my liver is okay, and I've never had any issues since I got diagnosed. I haven't had any illnesses. I don't even think I've had the flu. You know, I've been actually probably the most well I've ever been since getting diagnosed. And everyone thinks, oh, you must be so immunocompromised, and I'm not at all. So it's very handy.
It is, yeah. It's just phenomenal, this medication. I've talked about it with Robbie before, and it just blows my mind how far we've come.
Yeah.
And just to reiterate, you can still have children. You can have unprotected sex and not transmit the disease. It's just... Is there anything else, any other myths you would like to dispel?
Whew, a few. A lot of people assume that HIV and AIDS are the same thing, and that always really annoys me. People are like, oh, you know, yeah, you have AIDS, or can't believe you're living with AIDS. And I'm like, I'm not living with AIDS. You know, AIDS is a complication of untreated HIV. So if you're on treatment, if your viral load is low, if your white cell count is high, you don't have AIDS. And I think that's a real frustrating one for me. Mm-hmm. I've had to call out a few businesses and places for using the word AIDS instead of HIV. Like a dentist, for instance, said, you know, have you ever been exposed to the AIDS virus on like their check-in form? And I said, AIDS isn't a virus, you know, I had to scratch it out. I got very annoyed at them.
Good on you.
I'm a bit of a tyrant. I'd say people are sick of me coming in and giving out about this.
Absolutely not, because we need it. We need the education because it's just not out there. But there are some good sources of information if you go and look for it. But what would you recommend? What are some good information sources that you'd recommend for young people to maybe go and check out?
Well, you know, Google is a great thing, and HIV Ireland has amazing resources. They also have like peer support for anyone who has been recently diagnosed and just family and friends who want to learn more. Terence Higgins Trust in the UK also has a really good website. There is so many websites out there. You know, I think the thing is people just need to look for that information, and it's easy to find.
Lastly, just your family and friends who probably have educated themselves and have been educated by you. Are they shouting as loud for you with other people? Are they helping out on this crusade to educate people?
Definitely.
Isn't that great?
It's amazing. Yeah, my mum was at the park recently. I still think this is so funny. My mum was at the park recently and she bumped into someone she knows. I don't actually know this lady. I think she's a mother of my brother's friend, so I don't actually know who she is. But apparently she said, oh, I saw your daughter on the 6 o'clock show. And you know what, you know, how is her future looking like? You know, what complications can she have? And mum's like, nothing at all. Sure, she can have unprotected sex, you know, without a condom. And I was like, Jesus, mum, you're talking about my sex life in the park.
But it's true. And people need to know that exactly. This medication is so good. And we've come a long, 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 long way. We need to get rid of that stigma. And good on your mum for calling that woman out and just telling the truth. And that's what
just
we
educating
need.
Just educating. And I love people that ask questions. You know, I'm not upset about people asking me about it and asking questions because, you know, that's what I'm doing. That's why I want to be here. I want to educate. I want to just, you know, spread the information.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and spreading even more information. Aoife Commons, thank you so much for joining us from our Galway studio. Jen Zamparelli on RTE QFM.